Turn to your Bibles today to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. If you're familiar at all with Daniel chapter 6, this is the chapter where Daniel is thrown in the lion's den. Daniel in the lion's den is a familiar story to most of you, if not all of you. And that's what we're going to read. We're going to read from verse 16 to verse 23, and that'll be our text today. Daniel chapter 6. So if you get to the big prophets, after Proverbs and Psalms and all that, if you get to the big prophets, you'll find Daniel right after Ezekiel. All right, Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us today as we preach this text. In this text, Father, we have many things that are wonderful to see, but we ask you, please, to help us, because we need your help to have the power to preach these words, and we need your help to keep from being distracted as we hear these words, and we need your help to apply these words, and we need your help to believe these words, and we need your help, Father, to not be distracted by other words that would come in that might take our minds off of what we're seeing today. Help, Father. I know you love your sheep, and I love them as well, and I pray, Father, to be able to give them what you have for them in just the way that you want it preached, that you can do with it what you'd have to do in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, Daniel was a man that was taken to the land of the Chaldeans, to Babylon, in the captivity when Nebuchadnezzar had come into Jerusalem and Judah was destroyed. Daniel was one of the ones that went. And he went, and there are other men that were with him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are probably familiar names to you as well. These men had been trained early on. They were young men when they got there, and they were trained in the education of the Chaldeans and the language of the Chaldeans and wisdom and in science and things like that. And they were trained so they could be among those that would advise the king. Well, it became real evident early on that Daniel was stellar. He was a cut above the rest of the folks. And so as a result of that, that and the ability to interpret dreams, he was given a tremendous amount of authority in that kingdom. Well, eventually Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was destroyed, and Darius came in of the Medes and Persians. And Daniel, because he had done so well for the Babylonians, for the Chaldeans, was given great authority in the kingdom of Darius. But because of that, there were other men that envied him. And so they wanted to find a way to catch him, but they could find no fault against him. Like Jesus Christ, they could find no fault. And so what they decided they would do is they would set the king up where he would have to destroy Daniel. And the setup was this. They passed a petition, and nobody can go against the law or change the law of a king when it's made among the Medes and Persians. The law was, if any man ask a petition of any other god besides Darius, then he would be thrown in the lion's den. Well, Daniel was a man of prayer. Three times a day he would go to his house and he would open his window to Jerusalem and he would pray. And so he continued to pray, and the men knew and figured that he would. And he wasn't threatened by that decree at all. And so they reported it to the king, and the king had no way around the consequences. Daniel was going to have to go to the lion's den. He was upset with himself, the king was, that he made this decree, realizing now that it was a trick by these evil men. So he threw Daniel in the lion's den, no way around it. And what you're reading is the episode of his entrance into the lion's den and then the king coming early in the morning and finding that Daniel, his favorite ruler amongst those in his kingdom, had actually survived the night. We say, well, what are we going to look at today? You know, what we're going to look at today is this. Daniel could have been eaten by those lions, obviously, but he wasn't. And those lions are like lions we face in our lives. The Bible says the devil walk as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that's you. You're his prey. He wants to make you his prey anyway. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, Paul was talking about giving his answer in Caesar's court after he had been arrested and was up in Rome. And he said, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Well, he wouldn't have said that just to exaggerate the cause. There really is somebody that wants to attack you and take you down. The devil wants to. This lion that Paul talked about obviously was the devil that was trying to destroy Paul. Paul was talking to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he was teaching them about the resurrection, and he said, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. So, you know, these trials, these problems that Paul had gone through and that we face involved the devil. And the devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know what we need? What we need on our lives is the divine protection that Daniel had on his life when he was in that den. You see, when this whole thing was finished, the Bible says they raised him up out of that den. That's like our rapture. In the meantime, you're down here in this lion's den where there is a lion who wants to devour you, and you need, and I need, the protection that Daniel had. My question to you is, why did those lions not eat him? If you keep reading with me, just a little past our text, after Daniel was rescued, the king commanded in verse 24, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And look at this. The lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Before they ever hit the bottom, they're throwing in the men and their families, and the lions are tearing them up. How is it that Daniel got by? You say, well, God protected him, and I believe that, but why? Why? Well, if we could figure that out and incorporate what we see in Daniel's life in our lives, then we'll be aware how to be protected against the lion in this den. Because Daniel didn't fall prey, and you're going to read back in the text that we just read some things that were going on in Daniel's life that are a clue to us what should be going on in our lives to protect us from the lion. We fall prey to the lion when there is, first of all, pride. And that's something Daniel didn't have. And that's why he was spared. Look again in Daniel chapter 6 where we read. Look at verse 16 again where we started. The king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom, watch it, whom thou servest. Look at verse 20. Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou, what's the next word? Servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions. Do you realize that Daniel was big shot? He was big man in the country. We didn't read this. I told you about it. But look in Daniel chapter 6 at verses 1, 2, and 3. Look at this. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. So he had a big government. He had 120 provinces. He had a prince over every province, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And before this promotion of setting him over the whole realm, these guys want to take him down and have him destroyed. Why? Because they want the position. We have a little of that going on in our political situation right now. But you know what spared Daniel? He was a servant. In that attitude of being put to that high position over all those people, he never lost the responsibility that he had toward God. We're told in the New Testament, servants, obey your masters in the flesh, and we are to serve them as we serve Christ, as unto the Lord, with our heart, in singleness of mind, as unto Christ and not unto men. That's how we're supposed to do it. You and I, everybody in here is a servant. This really puts it somewhat in perspective, but there's an oral biography of Harry Truman, so, you know, way back after World War II, and the interviewer asked him this. He said, Andrew Jackson believed that the President of the United States could not return to the common man after serving in such high capacity. Truman went back to Independence, Missouri, where he came from after he left office. He said, what do you think about that? Truman said, I don't agree with that. The President of the United States of America is the servant of all the people. When I left office, I got a promotion. So you see the humility in that statement. Now, I know men don't treat the office that way today like they did when he served, and you may not have liked Truman. I'm sure that our politics would have differed in many respects. But you got to like his attitude about the office. And that was Daniel's attitude. I'm not the big shot over the whole realm. I am a servant of God. And that meant he was humble. You say, what difference does that make? Keep your finger where you are, because we'll certainly come back here, but look at this. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 is very near the end of your Bible. And notice the very, very important relationship between humility and protection from the devil. Humility and protection from the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What did he say? He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because you've got an adversary. Now look at it again for a confirming witness. You're in Peter, so go left to James. The book right before Peter is James. James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, look at verses 6 and 7. Notice the connection between humility and protection from the devil. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you resist the devil by submitting yourself to God, by getting away from pride. Humility is the way to stay out of the paw of the devil. Now, as a general rule, when we're young men, and the glory of young men is their strength, when we're young men, we're proud, we're cocky. That's just kind of what goes with the territory. So I say to those of you who are young men, everybody that's, let's say, under 65 years old today, you really have to know your heart And watch out for pride by staying humble. You really do. I say to us, those of us who have accomplished something in life, and there are many of you today that have accomplished something in life, you are really good at what you do. Whether it's a hobby or a vocation or your occupation or all three, you got to watch out for pride. You really got to watch out for that. Why? Because when you're proud, you set yourself up for an attack, and you want to remember Daniel didn't get where he got by being proud and by promoting himself. He got where he got by humbling himself and serving God, and God gave him those promotions, and that's how he went through that entire time with the protection of God on him, being spared from the devil. Watch out for pride. Watch out for pride. He protected himself by humility. Here's another thing. In Daniel chapter 6, we see this. We fall prey to the lion when there is pride. So the offset to that is humility. You protect yourself by humility. We also fall prey to the lion when there is idleness. Idleness. Look in Daniel chapter 6 again at verse 16. And notice what he says here. Thy God whom thou servest, what's the next word? Continually. Continually. He will deliver thee. Again in verse 20. Servant of the living God is thy God whom thou servest. What's the next word? Continually. Continually. Able to deliver thee from the lions. Daniel was not an idle man. You know what he was? He was a faithful man. I mean, I'm preaching this sort of two ways. How to fall into the prey of the devil? Be idle. How to protect yourself? Be faithful. Be steadfast. Faithfulness is what gets you through this thing. Daniel was not an idle man. Have you ever heard this statement? I know you have. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know, we live in a society that's very busy, and yet I think there's a lot of idleness in this society. Isn't that funny? And you know that because there are a lot of people that have a lot of time to spend on the net, surfing around, looking at things. You know what that is? That's a testimony to idleness. Now, in my life, I have to be involved with the computer for several reasons, not the least of which is communication, because of email, and the radio. We do all that stuff electronically now. And so those things that involve getting our posts up on the website and stuff like that. So we of necessity have to be involved in that to a certain extent. But you know what will happen if you spend all your time, I'll say this, let me put it in first person. If I spend all my time there in the office doing that kind of stuff and not really being pushed to a certain extent, without stress, if that's possible. You know what happens? The mind gets idle. When the mind gets idle, you know, during Bible reading, it drifts. During prayer, it drifts. During conversations, it drifts. While you're sitting there listening to somebody else that preaching, it drifts. It's when you tune up and run at that pace God wants you to run, whatever that is. It's obviously slower when you get older than it is when you're younger. When you go at that pace, you're clipping along there pretty good. Your mind is sharper and it is, what do they say, engaged, and it's less likely to be used by the devil to stray off to wicked thoughts. Is that right? Is that how it happens for you? Yeah, it's exactly how it happens for me. And I'll tell you what, we have a lot of young people that are growing up today that are idle. They're idle. You know, get them involved in every kind of chore that you can possibly think of. Mow the grass and take out the trash and do the laundry and wash the dishes and cook your supper and clean under the beds and change your oil and... Y'all are all looking at me like, my kid, if he can't turn it on with a remote, he can't use it. Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. The Bible says in these last days, perilous times shall come. Okay, you know what's involved with the perilous times? Men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I know that we're talking a little bit about the idleness of the mind and all that. This really doesn't pertain, but you need to know this. Randy said he saw a picture the other day or a restaurant, one or the other, and it said, "We don't have Wi-Fi here. Y'all just need to talk to each other." Took Ann out for her birthday the other day, and sure enough, you know, people in the booth, and one's doing this and one's doing that, and I'm thinking, why are y'all here? Why'd she pay all this money? Why didn't you just stay home? You could do that and eat chips and dip. Listen, you have to keep moving. You have to keep going for the Lord. Otherwise, you're idle. Now, in church, that is not hard to do because there are so many ways that God fits us into things of the ministry. You've heard Randy recently preach about discipleship, and I am quite sure you're going to hear him preach about that more, and you're going to hear me preach about it more. But you know what it does? It involves everybody in the church. It involves me teaching somebody. As a matter of fact, I've got one of those lined up for next Thursday afternoon. Me teaching somebody well enough that he can turn around and teach somebody else. Involving people in the Word of God, causing them to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, you could keep yourself busy for the things of the Lord with that and keep from being idle. There are a lot of people who will say, "Preacher, I'll do this for you." And they start out, and the next thing when you're really dependent on them, they're not there. We are so blessed, folks, in this church to have people who are faithful to keep doing what they said they would do when they started doing it. Faithfulness, steadfastness, staying with the work. That's what Daniel did, and so he was promoted and protected. We fall prey to the lion when there is pride, when there is idleness. We also fall prey to the lion when there is apostasy. Apostasy. You say, what is apostasy? It's a word that means to fall back. It means to fall back. We also have the word backslidden. Anybody in here ever been backslidden before? Yeah, all week, last week. Look in Daniel chapter 6. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so this is the decree that says he can't pray to anybody but make a petition to the king. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, watch it, as he did aforetime. In other words, Daniel had established a pattern of prayer early on when he was over there serving God and conducting his business in the kingdom, and he kept that going all the way through. He never slid back from what he used to do. He never slid back from that. He stayed with it. Do you know the devil's on your heels? He is. He's on your heels. And you know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for you to slow down, separate from the pack, and take a step back. So he can get you. Have you ever watched any of these wildlife shows where you got a herd of animals and you got a lion that's eyeing that? You've all seen that, right? You've either seen it in person, you've seen it in some sort of a documentary or some sort of a National Geographic or Discovery Channel or something like that. So here's this herd. What do they do? They go right in the middle of the herd and try to get the healthy ones that are all running together? No. What do? They wait till somebody, some animal is separated from the herd, and then pow. When we say to you, you know, be faithful in church, that's not just so we can see you all the time, although we do like seeing you all the time. We do that so you don't get separated from the herd and then find yourself attacked. I've watched people that have separated from the Lord for a period of time, and I'll tell you what, they come back 2 or 3 years later and they are clawed up, beat up, torn up. And what happened to them? They got out there and they got beat up by the lion. Is what happened to him. And listen, we're getting close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm confident. I have no idea when he's coming, but certainly today is closer than last Sunday. And the Bible says that time shall not come except there come a falling away first. Then that man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. You are in an age where you're like a salmon now. To stay in a right relationship with God in this society, you got to be swimming upstream because everything is moving toward falling away first. It's crumbling and you could easily go in the avalanche. What follows this falling away first is strong delusion where men get so messed up they believe lies. And there are a lot of lies that are being perpetrated today. You know what? get to the basics of this Word of God. Stay with the basics of this Word of God. Stay in prayer. Daniel did it three times a day. Stay obedient to the words of God. Why? Because you've got an adversary. And he wants to take you down. You know, here's an interesting thing. It's an interesting picture that might help you visualize how your life looks kind of from the supernatural perspective, from God's perspective and from the devil's perspective. Do you know right now as you're sitting here, there are several things going on in your life that God is arranging. Right now, God is arranging and has already arranged in many respects circumstances out in front of your life so that depending on how you respond to what you're hearing today, He has it set up so that as you begin to live by what you're hearing, there are certain things, certain circumstances, certain events in your life that are going to take place, and you are going to grow and you are going to fit into a plan that He has for you. It's not a trap, it's a series of doors of opportunities. And as you go through each one, there's this extra door, this other door of opportunity that opens for you. And I was talking to Brother Hemkin just the other day, and we were talking about our children and some things that have gone on with his family, some really good things that have happened to his children. And he was telling me, and then this happened. He said, you know, man, I'll tell you, it's just amazing how many ways God has blessed this son. And he said, and of course, he has a lot to give account for because of that as a result. But what that is that every time he took a step, there was something else in the plan that God had made for him. Do you understand? So what you're hearing today, how you respond today, is going to affect a lot about how your plan unfolds. This God has all this going. You can't see all those doors. You can't see, because you're looking at the tree, not the forest like he is. You can't see everything else that's going on, but you got to know that he's talking to you today and he wants you to respond a certain way. Well, I'm telling you something you probably already knew. May I tell you something else? The devil also has something going on. He's got plans and he's got doors as well. But his are not doors of opportunity. His are trap doors. And there are traps that are set all around here. And depending on how you respond to what you're hearing today, if the Lord is pointing out something to you that's an area of weakness in your life, pride or idleness, or in this case, backsliding or apostasy, the devil, he says, okay, just ignore it. Don't follow this. Don't believe what that preacher, he's just a fuddy-duddy. He's 40 years older than you. What does he know? He's not living in this day and age. He's living like back there when they got off the boat. This is America's birthday coming up. He was back there when it was born. This is 240 years later. What does he know about today? So you know all that stuff. And so you'll leave here and take nothing from this. And then you go and you're charting a path this way. And the devil's already got a trap for you. And he knows that as you ignore these things that you hear, there's the snare set for you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, the devil has snares. And he's just waiting for you. And he says, I know if this guy continues to ignore what he's hearing and he's walking down this path, he's going to put his foot in there. And when he does, I'm going to take him captive, the Bible says, at his will, at the devil's will. Boom, and you're snared. So you got to be very careful when you walk out. You got to be very careful while you're sitting here, because you have God who's working for you and you've got the devil who's working against you. And you can't see either one of them. And you cannot see the trap, and you cannot see the door, but you got to know that God is working and the devil is working. And Daniel said, if I'm going to negotiate this, I got to pray three times a day. And he didn't ever stop. He didn't say, well, now I'm over the whole realm, or fixing to be over the whole realm. I'm so busy, I don't have time but one time a week. There are a lot of people right now that will be in church one time a week and they'll tell you, the reason I don't come more often is I am too busy. You better be careful. Now, I used to hear preaching on like this attendance, and it was, I kept getting the idea he just wants to make sure there are more seats full for those other services where there are not so many people. I used to feel that. I don't feel that now. It's for your benefit. We fall prey to the lion when we're proud, when we're idle, when we're backslidden. We fall prey to the lion when there's lust. We fall prey to the lion when there's lust. Daniel chapter 1. Right at the beginning, Daniel realized there was a problem in his training program when they were teaching him wisdom and knowledge and science and the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. There was a problem. He wasn't used to the Chaldean diet. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart, now look at these next words, that he would not defile himself. Well, in this case, with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, in this case, the diet was wrong for Daniel. And it was defiling probably because it violated some of the laws that restricted what they could eat in the Old Testament, unclean meats and so forth, but also because it made him sluggish. Heavy diet of meat and wine made him sluggish in his studies. He said, let's have some pulse, let's have some water, we won't be sluggish. And sure enough, when they compared the countenance of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with the countenance of the other men they were training, their countenances were fatter and fresher and fairer. And when they came out of their training, they were 10 times better than all the other guys. So Daniel knew exactly what he was talking about. But you know, you can defile yourself with food, you can defile yourself with movies, you can defile yourself with pornography, you can defile yourself with drugs, you can defile yourself with alcohol, you can defile yourself with a lot of things. Listen, what Daniel recognized is, I got to really be careful. This meat tastes good, this wine tastes good, but it's not good for me, it is defiling me, and so he stopped it. And so the thing you have to do is you have to be very careful in your life, because all these things I just mentioned have an appeal. They have an appeal. You may not care a thing in the world for one of those sins that I mentioned, but you may have a real strong attraction for another one. Young people today have a real strong infatuation with each other, and they get physical very early on, 14, 15, 16 years old. There's a lot of physical stuff going on in these dating relationships that is not appropriate until you're married. And you know, all that's driving that is lust. They call it love. It's lust. And listen, when you're a young person, and particularly growing up in the Lord, and those kinds of lusts come up in your heart, they will defile you. And Daniel said, I am not going to be defiled. And because he took care of that vessel of God, when he went into that lion's den, God said, I'm going to bless that guy. I'm going to protect him from those lions, and he will protect you from the lion when you don't defile yourself with lust. Now, the devil is the one behind this. In other words, lust is something that comes with you. I mean, this, you know, boop, you come out and it's already there. It's stamped into the material. But the devil exacerbates it. He stimulates that lust by making presentations. And those presentations are all around you. Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil tempted him with the lust of the eyes, with the lust of the flesh, and with the pride of life. And you get tempted the same way. The Pharisees were tempted with that when Jesus Christ had that big discussion in almost argument with the Pharisees in John chapter 8. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He's the one that's there. So you're like, you get stirred up because something has been presented to you. You've got to make up your mind like Daniel. I will not be defiled by this. I will not be defiled by this. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, I'm not acquainted well enough with the Holy Spirit to know whether I'm walking in it or not. When I asked, that's a good question. When you got up this morning, you came over here, are you acquainted enough with the work of the Spirit of God in your life that you could honestly say, I know that right now I'm walking in the Spirit of God? You want to be. You want to be. You want to be able to say, yes, preacher, I am. I'm not speaking in pride, I'm speaking in humility, but I'm just letting you know, yes. But if you don't know that, you want to get more acquainted with the Spirit of God and further away from those things that are defiling the temple of God so the Lord can protect you. We fall prey to the lion also when there is ingratitude. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, and look at verse 10 again. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, so here's a decree that's going to hang me here, but I'm going to keep on praying. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. And what are the next 2 words? Gave thanks. Gave thanks. Before his God as he did aforetime. He gave thanks. For what? He was taken from his country as a captive. He was taken from his country and forced into an educational system he did not want to be in. And he was around a lot of idolatry. Nebuchadnezzar made that image and everybody had to bow down and worship it. He's always been under foreign domination. And you know what? He said, thank you, Lord. His temple had been destroyed. He's praying back toward Jerusalem. And the house of the Lord has been destroyed and it's been burned and the palaces have been burned. And yet he's thankful. He should have been bitter and mad, but he wasn't. He wasn't the one that was the cause of God going in there and destroying Judah and taking them captive and destroying that temple. That was the problem with the people that were above him. But he didn't do any of that. He was thankful. You know what the Bible says? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you know what's wrong with a lot of people in our generation today? They're not thankful. Americans, as a general rule, are not thankful people. And Christians who are Americans fall prey to that sometimes. One of the great benefits of going to Uganda with 7 of our young people from this church is when they got back, they're like, wow, we sure have a lot to be thankful for. We really do. Because we're loaded up with everything that we'll have. And for the most part, when you go to countries like that, they seem to be more content than we are. Ingratitude. You know, ingratitude is what leads to all the sinful problem that you have going on in our country today. When they knew God, the Bible says they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And it's ingratitude. Neither were they thankful. In the perilous times that we're facing today, you know what one of the characteristics is? Men should be lovers of themselves, of their own selves, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, blah, 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 unthankful. That's an ellipses. If you want to know what blah, 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 blah is, that's ellipses. Unthankful. Unthankful. Ingratitude characterizes the generation in which you live. Ingratitude is what leads to the reprobate mind and all that bad sin of Romans chapter 1. And you know what? Daniel said, I am not falling prey to this. This isn't the best of circumstances, but I'm still alive. Thank God for it. Ingratitude. Listen, the devil is just waiting for you to get upset with God or to lose your gratitude. That's all he's waiting on. Because as soon as you quit thanking God, you say, some of these circumstances are bad. Sure. But as soon as you quit thanking God, out from under you go your legs and down you go. And Daniel said, I'm not going to let that happen to me. If God said, give thanks for everything, Ephesians chapter 5, if he says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, then we're going to be thankful. And boy, we have a lot to be thankful for. I've watched that. I've watched people that have become unthankful and then they get bitter because their circumstances are bad. And I have 2 things to say about that. Bad circumstances are not an excuse for bad behavior. And if you're still alive, you still have something to be thankful for. And if you're not, you'll get bitter. And when you get bitter, you'll mess up not only your own life, but everybody else around you. You can't let that happen. Look at another one. Daniel chapter 6, look at verse 22. How are we going to fall prey to the lion? Well, he'll get you when you're proud. He'll get you when you're idle. He'll get you when you're apostate, backslidden. He'll get you with lust. He'll get you with ingratitude. And this one, Daniel chapter 6, look at verse 22. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me for as much as before him. Look at that next word. Innocency was found in me and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Sin will get you. Sin will get you. want to read something to you. David was very concerned, not about the obvious sins. I mean, there was a time when he should have been more concerned about those, when Bathsheba thing came around. But David was concerned about sins of the heart that nobody else can see. That's what he was concerned about. And listen, he said, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Secret sins will set you up for the devil. See, you come to church and you're around your family and they don't know what you're doing. They don't have a clue. Sometimes your countenance will change. Sometimes your attitude will change. And they've got an idea something's going on, but they can't put their finger on it. And generally, being parents, they'll try to blame themselves for whatever they're seeing. When really what's going on is you've been presumptuous before God and there's a sin in your heart nobody else but God can see, and the devil. And you're not innocent. And yet you're expecting the protection that God gives to His children. And the whole time, if you really thought about it, what you're smelling and feeling is the hot breath of the devil right behind you, waiting for you to trip up so, bam, he can get you. Let me tell you what happens with secret sins. The devil will let you go on until you enjoy them so much you can't quit. And God will let you go on with them because you're not facing Him in truth. And you know what the devil will do? He will set that trap and let you keep on with that secret sin up to a point until you are hooked with the hook. Listen, and one more thing. He can do the most damage with your fall. There are preachers today that have gotten in trouble morally, but they were in moral trouble years ago, but nobody knew it. And the devil let him get away with it and enjoy that pleasure of sin for a season. And the Lord let him get away with it because he wouldn't face the Lord in truth. And then what happened is the guy became a preacher and had 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 people in his church. And then the secret came out and boom, the destruction to that church was immense. And there are people you'll meet if you ever deal with people about the Lord that'll tell you, "I had a preacher and he fell in moral sin and I will never go back to church." See, he let it come out when it would do the most damage. You're not getting away with anything, folks. And if you want protection in this den where there is a lion, you've got to be innocent. Now, I realize we're not going to be sinless, but I can tell you something. We can try a lot harder than we've been doing. One more thing. We'll fall prey to the lion when there is, in verse 23, unbelief. Unbelief. Verse 23, "Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den." That's like our rapture, thank God. "So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him." Why? Because he believed in his God. You know what will trip you up with the devil and put you down faster than anything? Unbelief. Unbelief. Today, and it may very well be true, we have somebody in here who does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. I don't know that, but I just look around and I say there's a real possibility that we have somebody in here that's not saved. And you know what? You've come to this place where you say, "Well, I'm sauntering through life and God hasn't struck me down with lightning yet." You know, I've had people tell me that. I've witnessed to them and I said, "You know, without Jesus Christ, you're not going to be able to go to heaven." They said, "Well, God hadn't struck me down with lightning yet." Or, "I'm involved in such and such a sin." I say, "You know, you really ought to be involved in that. Boy, God says this about that sin." They'll say, "Well, God hadn't struck me down with lightning yet." Boy, I'll tell you what, when He does, you're sure going to regret it. When He does, you're going to be like, "Why was I so stupid?" Unbelief. Daniel believed in his God. You know, that one will kill you. The Bible says that when the Lord sends the Holy Spirit into this world, He sends the Holy Spirit in here to reprove the world of three things. Listen, sin, righteousness, and judgment. Judgment, so you'll know that the prince of this world has been judged. Righteousness, because Jesus Christ is gone and you can't see righteousness lived out in anybody's life. like you did in Jesus Christ's life. You see it somewhat in our lives. We've changed, but not to the degree that Jesus did. But this first one, he said, I'm going to reprove the world of sin. Why? Listen, because they believe not on me. You know what the Holy Spirit's trying to do right now? As feeble as this preacher is at getting the message across, he is trying to reprove you of the sin of not believing in Jesus Christ. And you have no protection from the devil. You're on his team if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't know if you knew this, but there are only two spiritual families in the world, God's family and the devil's family. My question to you is, which one are you in? It's an easy answer. I'll answer for myself. I'm in God's family. You say, how do you know that? Because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Listen, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I've received Him. I'm a son of God. Where are you? Where are you? If you, listen, it's by default. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are not in God's family by default, then you are in the devil's family. You are still in your unbelief, and you have no protection in the den. When he's deciding that he wants to take you down, you're gone. You know what I say to you? Get into God's family and get some protection. Now, if I was selling life insurance and I did a good job of it, you'd say, okay, sign me up, I'll take $100,000. If I was in car insurance and I did a good job, you'd say, okay, sign me up, I'll take the max. If I was in health insurance and I was doing a good job, you'd say, you know what, that sounds like a good plan. Sign me up. But I'm not in any of those and you don't pay anything. I'm just over here telling you about Jesus Christ. You're like, well, it doesn't cost me anything. Okay, I'll just leave and take my chances. Don't do that. Don't do that. I talked to a fellow one time and finished witnessing to him. I said, so what do you think? He said, I'll just take my chances on the judgment. I said, you're 100% loser. Why would you go to Las Vegas and bet when you already know the outcome of the hand is you're going to lose your money? He said, I'll just take my chances on the judgment. You know what he's telling me? I don't believe what you're saying. You know what Daniel did? He believed it. And you know what you need to do? You need to believe it because it's absolutely true. We fall prey to the devil, to the lion, when there's pride, when there's idleness, when there's apostasy, when there's lust, when there's ingratitude, when there's sin, and when there's unbelief. And you're strong against him when you're humble, when you're faithful and steadfast, when you're true to God and not backslidden, when you stand against that lust, when you're thankful, when you're innocent, and when you believe in Jesus Christ. My prayer to you today is God's given you something to help you in this den where there's a lion. And my prayer is that if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you'd want to receive him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much today for the opportunity to see in Daniel's life what it's like to live in this den down here where there's a devil. And what it's like to have the protection that Daniel had while he was in the den. Father, I pray for our people that you've spoken to us in such a way, Father, that we will seek the protection that can only come from you by these things we've seen in Daniel's testimony. And I also pray for anyone who's here today without Christ that he or she today would say, you know what, I'm not going to face another day with that devil without the protection of Jesus Christ. I need to be saved. Father, I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to have your will and your way with our folks and me in this service for Jesus' sake. Amen.